It's time once again for Dialogue Conspiracy with May Brussel. For the past 14 years, May has been researching and uncovering facts and evidence from between the lines of the news and placing them in a more thorough perspective of how conspiracy, political assassination, and abuses of power affect us all. Dialogue Conspiracy originates with KLRB-FM in Carmel, California. And now, May Brussel.
Good evening. This is May Brussel in Carmel. It's March the 19th, 1978, and this is Dialogue Conspiracy number 313. I was in San Francisco last weekend with Bob Trevor on KGO, and the very first caller that asked questions of me wanted to know what I considered the most important area of investigation or things to watch for in the future in terms of government conspiracies and assassinations. And my answer was the use of drugs and mind control, that the chemicals in our food, the mind control of television, the news media, the specific health programs that the government is going in terms of cancer, experimentations, various drug dosages that they're administering to the public at large is probably the number one problem in the country, because if we don't have the use of our bodies and minds, if we're sick, if the sickness is given to us by the CIA laboratories or the Defense Department, if our minds are altered by chemicals, then whatever comes along that we face, we can't really reach it rationally because we're ailing, and the main thing is to stay awake and well and take care of the necessary jobs, and there isn't much time left over for reasoning or thinking about world affairs. Of course, one of the big problems right now is watching the elections in Italy and in France to see whether or not they will have elections. The terrorism excuse may just be the excuse to cancel elections. The kidnapping in Italy, the recent murder in France this week of public officials may be the excuse that the far rightists want in desperation to stop the elections. Elections of this type were stopped in Greece in 1967, and Andrius Papandreou was removed physically, and of course that was linked to our CIA and high government offices. But the ability to reason and see the patterns of elections being canceled over the last 20 or 30 years is impossible, as I say, unless we steer clear of the chemicals and the experimentations that are being handed out to us. And there's every bit of evidence to see how little care the government is taking in nurturing our bodies. And I'm going to give some examples of that on Dialogue Conspiracy this evening. Before I do that, I just want to mention that book Operation Mind Control by Walter Bowart that I've referred to several times. It has a lot of good information. It has a lot of cover-up information. But there's some things that some of you may not know about the programs of mind control. And there's another point that he does make in this book that I've criticized other researchers for not bringing out. I specifically went into it last week. And that was the problem of simplifying the blame of all of these things that are happening on just the CIA and the FBI and not the Pentagon. And this is one of the first books, I believe, that I've read that goes beyond these charges of just the CIA and FBI doing it, even though Mr. Bowart isn't saying it himself on page 238 and 239 and 240. He's interviewing a man who was a killer for the Central Intelligence Agency, or maybe still kills for them. And he said, I don't call these atrocities, what we're doing, atrocities of war. Otherwise, they're simply called military actions. And Mr. Bowart said, I asked him a while about the evils of government and went back to my point of interest, who killed JFK, RFK, King, who was behind Bremer. And he said, well, whoever got the Kennedys and Martin Luther King probably got a gold medal. We were set up to wipe out Fidel Castro, and Kennedy interfered. Oswald was just a patsy. He said, this country is controlled by the Pentagon. Don't kid yourself about it. All the major decisions in this country are made by the military, and from my observation on the clandestine side of things, and that's consistent with what I was saying last week. He said, the CIA is just the whipping boy. The National Security Agency and their branches are the ones who have the hit teams. Look in their records, you won't find a thing. Look into their budgets, and you can't. For the life of you, you can't find any way to find out how they spend their money. But the CIA is just a figurehead, he said. They are more worldwide, like the FBI. They're accountants. There's lawyers, file clerks, schoolboys. They are information gatherers. They pulled a lot of shenanigans. But I'm not going to deny that. As far as the intelligence goes, it goes to the National Security Agency. They're far, far superior in the black arts. He said the CIA gets blamed for what the National Security Agency does. The NSA is more vicious. They're more accomplished in their actions. In other words, I said, are you saying that the military is more dangerous to our democracy than the CIA or the intelligence groups? Mr. Bowart asked him. And this person who works for these agencies said, in quotes, the CIA gathers information, but the military heads the show. Look how many former military officers now are working for the CIA. Look how many former high-ranking military officers work for the multinational corporations. And he goes on to say, can't you figure this out? Bowart asked him, are you suggesting that there's an invisible coup d'etat that occurred in the United States? And he went on, there's a group of 18 or 20 people running this country. They haven't been elected. The elected people are only figureheads for these guys who have a lot more power than even the President of the United States. Do you mean the President is powerless? Bowart asked. He has the power to make decisions of what is presented to him. But what is presented to him is information that can be falsified, documents falsified, so his conclusions are based on information that is not necessarily true. This is from Operation Mind Control, and I think this is important. This was my objection to the L.A. Free Press article saying the CIA and the FBI killed Kennedy. The case is closed. That poor single edition is now maybe the only edition that will be published by Larry Flint, but it's very worthwhile to save. This author went on in Operation Mind Control and said that the Defense Intelligence Agency and the National Security Agencies have double agents inside the CIA. They're really loyal to the corporations, and they do what the corporations want, and they do it on their own. They have a worldwide espionage system, and their worldwide system is even far better than the CIA. And they have networks that work for them that are made of government agents. He didn't give the example, but one is Intertel that arranges the Hughes organization and flew the body from Las Vegas to the Bahamas. It was allegedly Howard Hughes. Interpol and Intertel and these large agencies are controlled by these corporations. And the allegations here are, look for hypnosis, hypnotic drugs, electric stimulation of the brain, ultrasonics on your brain. These are done by the military, and don't just finger the Central Intelligence Agency or you are putting down the true story. I did order a book called, it's a four-volume book, called Friends of History, which goes into the medical aspects of espionage. It's an organization, rather the book isn't called Friends of History. There's a group called Friends of History, 4721 Couture Boulevard, Montreal, C-O-U-T-U-R-E, Boulevard, Montreal. And there's a four-volume book called Doctors of Death. It's $12.95, $13.60 with tax, and it's a bound series, and they're very valuable. They're about the size of the Reader's Digest, and it goes into the origin of the medical experimentation and the innocence with which the head doctors in Germany went into the extermination and genocide and how they got seduced into this system that Adolf Hitler had set up, the head doctor being Karl Brandt. And I think it's interesting to read this book at the same time that we read Operation Mind Control, to read these four books, because not everybody in Germany was under the hypnotic drug control or the medical control or the disease problem that we have today. They fell for Adolf Hitler even without all of the hypnosis and mind control. So what you get now in society or series of diseases that are going to be put upon us, plus the fact that there's the natural tendency to go towards this kind of fascism without any cajoling or persuasion. If we have no homes, no housing, no jobs, unemployment, rampant inflation, the dollar value is dropping, It would be just as easy to get fascism in this country if it goes a little farther as we saw in Germany. But in addition to that, we can be physically sick and weakened and let it slip through our fingers if people make the comparisons of now to Germany. If they just should happen to be so lucky, our opportunities could still slip through our fingers. And the people in charge are really not worried about our lives. I give some examples. I brought in a pile of newspapers this week and had a lot of things I wanted to share with you. But here's one example of a Los Angeles Times article, March the 10th, 1978, which was just last week. Finally, a flu program that makes sense. And it's by William Hines. It says, the swine vaccine campaign of 1976 was a disaster. But the government is making a new policy that's going to repair the damage. He says, just about this time, 2 years ago, a small cabal of medical researchers and bureaucrats put the finishing touches on plans for the swine flu vaccine program of 1976, prepared before President Ford for his approval, which he did. What grew out of their planning of this small cabal, again, of medical researchers, which, again, all the doctors in the country went for, just fell right down and said, anything you want, we'll take. What this article says is what grew out of the planning of these few people was the most reckless, expensive, and disastrous public health experiment in history. 45 million Americans were vaccinated against a disease that did not exist. This is by William Hines, medical affairs writer in Washington. Hundreds of millions of dollars in direct federal and state expenditures, plus even greater sums in damage claims, and hundreds of citizens dead and disabled from the paralytic effects of vaccination. I heard somebody in their usual campaign rhetoric talking about the welfare cheaters this last week on the radio, and yet nobody mentions the hundreds of millions of dollars for a disease that didn't even exist. To add insult to injury, the 76-77 flu vaccine flu season turned out to be the mildest in recent history. And not only was there no swine flu to cope with, but the prevalent Victoria flu, which had been such a bad actor the season before, hardly even surfaced. Now, this article, it's a long article on excessive deaths and millions of dollars wasted, was in the Los Angeles Times this week, and then, as a companion to it, the Washington Post has an article, A Fight on Flu is Planned by the United States. The first long-term national policy on flu immunization was announced today by Joseph Califano, Jr. This is the Washington Post talking about the Secretary of Health and Welfare. Its goal is to help the states more than double the number of persons who are in the high-risk category, and they're going to give this to old people and subjects that they consider to be getting the swine flu. Not explaining that the same people made errors before, they've fingered 30 million people who should be getting their doses by this August, and Dr. William Foge, director of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, will be in charge of the 30 million inoculation of older people. Now, is this genocide or isn't it? Can we be paranoid about this? If these people weren't prosecuted and the health department wasn't broken up in Atlanta, Georgia, can we be trusting these same people again? I believe that we should get the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta closed permanently. The hundreds of millions of dollars put back by the doctors that suggested it through their insurance policies, and expose this swine flu hoax that is costing lives and paralysis and death. And just the same week that they come out and tell what a terrible disaster it was before, they come out with an announcement they're ready for another shot at. Also in the paper this week was an article about Admiral Hyman Rickover, the Navy's top nuclear expert, who has denied that there's any evidence that civilians who work on nuclear shipyards died of cancer, even though they are more than double the national death rate. Dr. Thomas Najarian, N-A-J-A-R-I-N, a blood specialist at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Boston, published a story that the cancer death rate for those who worked on the nuclear submarine at the shipyard was 38.4%, more than twice the national average of people suffering deaths, and that the workers were dying in their 40s or 50s with an unusually high number of cancers and leukemias. And yet, Admiral Rickover is saying that there's no evidence that people that worked on these ships had cancer. Another example of a news media cover-up that I haven't seen over the national headquarters, the Associated Press, United Press, but was only a special to the New York Times and the Washington Post. This is dated March the 8th. Cases of fraud found in testing drugs on humans. Now, we heard about drugs being tested on prisoners in mental hospitals, but here's a case where the Food and Drug Administration is being investigated just this March 1978, and Dr. Donald Kennedy, the Commissioner of Food and Drug, told a Senate subcommittee about some of his investigations of persons who were being tested, and they were not being tested by licensed physicians. In none of the incidents described were the drugs approved for mass use, but were singled out for people in these old people's homes or convalariums. Physicians were hired by drug companies to give drug tests, and I assume that it's still going on. They misrepresented what they were giving women in labor and got a paper of informed consent. They use experimental drugs on the newborn babies. It said there were abuses committed by 13 physician testers just in this one expose that the Senate subcommittee is looking into, but no one has been named or fingered for their work. The 13 doctors who were found doing these studies represented 48 major pharmaceutical manufacturers, including Hoffman La Roche, Bristol Myers, McNeil Laboratory, a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, and Endo Laboratory. They've been paid various sums, and here were some of the conclusions. This was from the Washington Post. For various reasons, the 48 companies have no drug on the market in which to get data from these 13 doctors. They said the audits found that the companies worked on patients who supposedly didn't exist. They didn't give their names. They never got the experimental drug. They never gave informed consent to being tested. We don't know what they were given. They didn't have the disease the drug was supposed to treat, and they were given excessive dangerous doses of whatever they got. False claims were filed with the companies that approved of the drug study. Senator Edward Kennedy went into this matter. He's on this committee and found the use of multiple experimental drugs on various patients at nursing homes and elsewhere, goodness knows where, to the exclusion of proven therapy. If somebody had a disease and they knew they would be cured by this particular drug, they use experimental. The patient was nothing but a guinea pig in these cases. They did a four-hour hearing of FDA agents and about 13 of these physicians, as I say. And for each drug that they claimed they were testing, one of the 48 companies paid them between $24,000 and $106,000 the physicians are making in their pocket a year, from $24,000 to $106,000 to give to these various people. One physician got $106,000 for testing a drug that Bristol Laboratories hoped would stimulate the performance of the senile, but actually was going to a Florida nursing home that was a rat-infested dump that wasn't helping them at all. They found the administrator had already been indicted for embezzling funds from patients. They had brain-damaged alcoholics that they were experimenting upon. The physician then who was in charge of it disappeared. The medical license he had was forged. So you have doctors such as the coroner in Los Angeles who worked with Dr. Noguchi, who turned out didn't have a medical degree or a law degree and was temporarily removed as one of the head coroners, and then I believe he's being allowed or was brought back to Los Angeles, came under false pretenses. False doctors working with various patients in the United States, no doctor's degree, the credentials were all fake. One doctor claimed that he was doing work on a muscle relaxant, and yet when they went to find out the sources of a patient's death, there were no results on what the experiments were. One senior physician and an unidentified Veterans Administration, and this is important because here are our United States veterans at veteran hospitals getting these experimentations from private companies. And remember how they tried to finger the Philippine nurses on those charges of purposely putting a chemical in that the veterans died. Now we find that the Veterans Hospital was used and they tested Roche Sedative, that's a drug company, Roche Sedative, and Aided by the Veteran Administration rules, they concealed from the drug company the deaths of, they were testing these drugs, the deaths of the veterans and the participants. Roche got all 11 people who got the drug allegedly were listed, but there was a discrepancy on the patient's charts about who got it, and they were concealing these drugs. That's a Washington Post article. The New York Times has just a little bit about the doctor who had his license removed to practice medicine in Florida who was giving these drug tests. So the major drug companies, some very prominent ones, are being investigated by the Food and Drug Administration in Washington, D.C. in March 1978, and yet we're not getting any headlines on the Associated Press or the United Press of these suppressed experiments. As for a comment on the work of Bristol Laboratories in paying the doctors and experimenting, Dr. Stanley Crook told Senator Edward Kennedy that the nursing home experiments, the study was suboptimal. Suboptimal, said Committee Chairman Senator Edward Kennedy. That's got to be the statement of the year. They gave $106,000, which was, in quotes, clearly a mistake because the investigator did a poor job and caused problems for Bristol, the drug company. Therefore, they had to drop the project. Another thing that the government has promised to protect or investigate before they got too far in was radioactivity in the Bikinis, and maybe you, some of you read about what's going on there. 9 years ago, the government told people on the Bikini Islands that it was safe to return to their atoll, that the nuclear weapons had been tested there, and that the islanders could go home. Now the government says they were wrong. The tests showed that the groundwater is still radioactive, too radioactive for human consumption. The coconuts, fruits, and vegetables in the soil are contaminated. So now the Interior Department has asked for $15 million to move the islanders to another home. Now, does that $15 million take care of their cobalt treatment, their radiation, their blood diseases, their children's diseases, the food that has been exported from those islands? Where does that $15 million go? They're going to move these people, 100 of them, to another island, which is an interesting figure, to move 100 people from an island and have it cost $15 million. But the government has now admitted that they made a mistake and that the world is now receiving coconuts. There's 50,000 new coconut trees that were planted there and 40 new homes were built. And now there's contamination and it's going to cost in lives and in money millions and millions of dollars. And yet, in the newspaper today, just a companion to the story about the radioactivity in the Bikini Islands, is an article that a journalist refuses to give information about spying on nuclear power foes. In the state of California, people have been fighting nuclear power, as they have in the East Coast, the Clamshell Alliance and other groups, and those opponents have been spied upon, and a detective agency has the list of various people who the government has used probably to harass and photograph and take their names. If you oppose the atomic plants, you are followed by detective agencies working for the nuclear power proponents, and you don't have a right to object to this kind of radiation, and yet those people that promised you that you would be safe if you return to the Bikini Islands, those natives are telling you that atomic energy is safe, is against solar energy in the United States, and they will spy on the opponents and knock them out in various ways in order to silence them to get what they want. There's another article in the Washington Post, a long article. The World Health Organization has identified $7 billion worth of drugs sold to third world countries. You can imagine that this is just what they want. There's a cartoon there of an island being bombarded with medicines and pills and hypodermics. It said, the drugs in developing countries now cause worry. One of the major phenomena of recent decades is the number of drugs being marketed throughout the world. Thousands of products are available, and there's growing recognition that they're not always used for their full potential. $7 billion worth of drugs were sold to third world countries in 1977, and that would account for 40% of their health care budget. But they feel that these drugs with their generic names could be causing more harm than good, and that without guidelines associated with storing and analyzing and distributing these drugs, or monitoring them, you could have the problem of pharmaceutical companies in third world countries over-drugging and critically hurting various people. 147 drug companies have sold $7 billion worth of drugs without any supervision or instruction to third world countries. I look at that as a form of genocide and not health care. I know that many of you that listen to KLRB and other FM stations are very aware of the poison that's being put in the grass of marijuana. The federal government has admitted that they have spent up to $40 million to poison this grass. It may be true that a group in the Bay Area are testing the farm chem company to see the poisons in the grass, but the problem is that a whole generation of people that are really smart and turned on can be totally wiped out. Their lungs a few years from now could be affected, and at least one-third or one-quarter of every person who's smoking grass right now may die from irreversible disease later, and there won't be anything they can do for it any more than the 40 or 50-year-olds dying from leukemia who worked in the factories making the atomic submarines. One of the problems of switching Dialogue Conspiracy from Monday evenings, we used to have it every Monday to Sunday night, one of the listeners told me was that, well, Sunday's a really hard night from 10 to 10:30 because everyone is taking a joint and lighting up, and they're turned on, you know, and it's kind of hard to concentrate to Dialogue Conspiracy. Monday is a more practical hour. And my answer to that statement was, well, this young generation better understand that it's not safe to turn on until you know who's supplying your grass. If you're not growing your own, it really isn't safe. I've known that the government was into wiping out this large mass of population, and people like the Osmonds and Captain and Tennille and the Mr. Super Duper Clings who don't smoke a joint or don't smoke a cigarette or don't touch alcohol, they intend to rule the world. The Mormon Church has strong edicts about smoking and drinking, and this is a matter of survival. And a lot of you don't realize yet that you're falling into the trap that they want you to fall into by getting their grass and taking it and then being poisoned. You won't feel it now, and you may get a little chemical taste. And the answer, of course, of the health department in Washington, D.C. is, well, we'll put a little warning, Mr. Califano said, that you shouldn't be smoking grass. That won't help the person who's down at Big Sur backpacking right now, or in Santa Cruz, or all over the country, flipping out, lighting their joints. It won't help them later because they're not going to read the newspapers. That's too bourgeois to do. That's not really with it. It's too square to listen to all this conspiracy talk. It's better to just flip out and have your joints and your acid and let the future take care of itself. Well, it's not going to take care of itself, and it's very pertinent that people, particularly this young audience that listens to Dialogue Conspiracy, be aware of the traps that are being set for them all around the world. There was an article about Britain sentenced a LSD maker. You may know his name. It's David J. Solomon, 52. He was just arrested last week or so in England, in London, for having produced 15 million LSD tablets. He was responsible for 95% of Britain's LSD supply, half of the non-communist world, the street value of $4 million. The article says he was a former associate of Dr. Timothy Leary, David J. Solomon, 52, who's been making all this LSD, 15 million tablets. And you can't be sure that they're pure tablets if they're not filled with the same dangerous chemicals that are now being exposed in magazines, those so-called peace pills that have been on the streets since 1967 to burn out the anti-war protesters and the young hip kids that dropped out of the culture, went into the counterculture. I got a letter from London. There's a very good team of researchers in London, England, who told me that this Dr. Solomon is connected with the Central Intelligence Agency there, and they've known it for a long time. And, of course, there's been a lot of reason to wonder about Timothy Leary and his associations with the intelligence community. And then, of course, the same day that I see an article about the CIA agent in England with the LSD supply, I read an article from Phyllis Schlafly in the San Francisco Chronicle that sex rock music promotes immorality and sex habits, and that we have to watch hard rock music And it says that hard rock music fostered the great wave of drug addiction among young people in America and England. And they're trying to blame the music, the rock music, for the drug abuse that has taken place in this country. And yet the drug abuse is promoted by the government that is importing these weeds, putting the chemicals in. If the United States isn't sending $40 million worth of chemicals to Mexico to put on their marijuana, and they've confirmed that they are putting this on the marijuana, if they didn't do that, then I'd wonder what was their interest in marijuana and the youth. But they've admitted that they have sent the chemicals there and made the profit off the chemicals. And they know that the bulk of that marijuana is coming to California, where a bulk of the really hip, turned-on kids are, and even the adults, some of them, not too many, but a lot of them, so that the counterculture can be conveniently wiped out through these various forms of drug. Time is up, and I must stop now. We'll continue more, possibly, on the drugs and mind control next week. In the meantime, take care of yourself, and we'll get together next week.
You've been listening to Dialogue Conspiracy with Mae Brussels.